You may open your Bibles, if you wish, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 1 through 12. I just want to start out by saying, I'm going to tell you something you all don't know. This has been a difficult year. Amen? Three of you said amen. Yes, it has been a difficult year. Some of you have lost your homes. Some of you have lost loved ones. As working in a Christian school, we have seen changes that have had to be made almost weekly. It's just been a different year. Some of you have had your children home because they couldn't get face-to-face education, and that made a difference at home. It's been difficult for our teaching staff. It's been difficult because we've seen a number of our friends leave this earth and go to heaven in this past year. Right now, I know another administrator in one of our Christian schools in Michigan, and he's on a ventilator. He's their principal. They just lost a member in Cheryl Dickerson's family. I had the privilege, Janae called me, our secretary, and the church office called me and emailed me and said, this gentleman called, he'd like to have you call him back. And I was preparing for this. I told the secretaries, don't bother me, I'm going to need all day. They bothered me. What a privilege it was for me to be able to talk to this gentleman. He visited our church. They're going to join our church. They love our church. But he let me know that he wouldn't be in my Sunday school class today because he had to go have a hip replacement. As he was talking to me, he started to cry. Born again Christian, an older gentleman, he started to cry. And we paused. I couldn't say anything because he couldn't say anything, and he was crying on the phone. It wasn't just the hip replacement, but then he told me after the hip replacement, he said, they found out I had cancer on my kidney. And it took him some time to compose himself. A born-again Christian. Going to join our church soon. He loved the church when he came. Comes from another great church. And I asked him, can I pray with you before we hang up? And he said, yes. People are hurting. We've never had anything like this where we wear masks and we can't shake hands and people are on ventilators and many of our friends have gone on to heaven. All I can say is this has been a difficult year. Agree or not agree? Now see, you all don't understand because I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher. And that means I like to engage you. So when I ask you a question, guess what? Will you answer? I want us to answer together. I want it to be two ways. Has this been a tough year for you or no? I got more of you that way. Okay. Well, I want to share with you a passage in 2 Thessalonians. You see, the book of Thessalonians was written by the Apostle Paul. And he was writing to the church there at Thessalonica. Paul addressed three essential matters. One of them was the encouragement during the persecution that they were going through. As believers, they were being persecuted immensely. So we wanted to address that. The encouragement also to stand firm in what he had taught them when he was there before. Paul was also trying to encourage them to remain faithful to the Lord. Paul had instructed the Thessalonians about the end times when he was there with them. The Thessalonians were confused because someone actually wrote a letter and sent it to them and they signed Paul's name. And the letter wasn't from Paul. So they were confused. The Thessalonians were confused hearing that they'd already missed the rapture. And they were in the day of the Lord. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming, the Bible tells us, one day, to take us to heaven. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because that's what the Bible teaches us. And I've been taught that since I was a little boy. I had the privilege of being in a pastor's home, and I was taught the Bible from when I was a little boy. I believe Jesus is coming back. Do you believe that? And the Bible says all those that are in the grave, those believers that are there, they're going to go up before we do, and then we're going to meet them in the air. The Bible tells us that. I believe that with all my heart. And because I believe that since at least 4 years old, and I know that that's what the Bible teaches us, guess what? What happens if all of a sudden the rapture came and I was left out? What would you think if he came and you were left? Once in a while, my wife will go from one room to another, and I think maybe the rapture came and she's gone and I'm still here. I get a little choked up. Where are you, Lord? Well, I'm telling you what, these people were discouraged because to them, the Apostle Paul had written a letter and said, the rapture's happened, you're here. And things are going to happen that aren't going to be good. Besides the fact they were being persecuted for their belief. They were confused. The main reason for their confusion was that letter that they got. And the people were discouraged and a lot of them stopped working completely. They were waiting to see what was going to happen. So there was a problem of idleness among these believers. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you ready to answer me? I heard three of you. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been discouraged and you not known the reason why? A number of people said yes. Let me ask you another one. Have you recently been discouraged? And you know why? Have you ever been persecuted? Maybe by another Christian. You think you're doing right, and you get the feeling no matter what you do, it just doesn't seem to matter. Has someone wronged you? You ever have a family member do that? Have you lost a good friend? Or a family member? Wow. Let me say this. I believe, and that's why I'm preaching this message, I believe today people are hurting. I believe there's people seated here that are hurting. There are people watching us online that are hurting. This has been a different year. The gentleman I talked to on the phone was desperately hurting. What a privilege I had to pray with him. The people in Thessalonica who had received Christ as their Savior, they were experiencing extreme persecution. It grew so bad, they thought they were living in the tribulation. Go read the book of Revelation and see what happens during 7 years of tribulation. They were confused. It was in response to those need that the Apostle Paul wrote this passage to those people that he loved dearly. The engaging message in this passage not only helped the Thessalonians, but I think if we look at this passage, you'll see it may help each one of us. I think it has a great relevance for us today. This passage gives three biblical truths of encouragement. If I were to ask you, do you need to be encouraged today? Most of you say, no, I'm okay. But I believe the reason we have God's Word and the reason that He told people what to write is not just for the people in Thessalonians, but here we are thousands of years later. I think He's written this word, this Bible, He has written so that you and I can apply it to our lives. So first of all, and some of you have a handout, and so first of all, the encouragement of praise. In verse 4 of this chapter, in this verse, it says, in verse 3, we are bound to thank God always
for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Paul was praising them. So the first one on your outline there is the fact that the encouragement of praise. We can be encouraged if we're doing something right and people or someone we respect would praise us. And that's what Paul was doing here. Their faith was growing. You see, faith is like a muscle. You have to exercise it for it to grow. Tribulation and persecution are God's ways of strengthening our faith. Faith is like a muscle. If we never had a trial in our life, would we ever have to exercise our faith? Not that God makes it happen, but God allows it to happen. There's a verse in James, a passage in James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing that the trusting of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, in the King James, or completely lacking nothing. Now, I had asked to see if they could put this on the screen, and I don't know. Yes, they did. I've never drawn this out before, but I've taught it to seniors in high school for years as we went through the book of James. He says, count it all joys when you fall into divers trials. Have any of you gone through any trials this last year? Are any of you going through a trial right now? What does he say? He says, in the book of James, count it all, did you get that? Joy. When you fall into or when you experience trials, we're to count it all joy. And you're sitting there saying, right. Are you kidding me? Do you know what's going on in my house? Do you know what I'm struggling with? I don't know what you're struggling with, but you know what the Bible tells us? Count it all joy. And you all master that, don't you? But there's a reason for that. And this passage goes on. Count it all joy when you fall into different trials. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, what's the second step up there? Patience. Patience. I don't believe the Lord always causes these trials for me, but I know that the Lord may allow this trial for me, and He's not going to take it away from me, but because He wants me to grow in my patience. Now, how many of you are patient people? Just ask my wife. I'm the most patient guy in the world. And I just lied to you. You see, as Christians, we all sin. Is there anyone in this house that would need say, you know what, I need to work on my patience? But God allows these trials to come. It's kind of like when we're training children. I've been an educator for years and years and years, and I'll tell you what, mamas, they sure get mad at me. They used to. I'm not in that position anymore. But their kids can do no wrong. And if their kids does something wrong, mama comes in, man, and she wants to get in front of that and she wants to take care of that. My kid wouldn't do that. I'm, hello? We used to tell moms and dads, let them live this. They've got to learn from this. Don't you defend them all the time. That's how they learn. And that's the biblical truth of this. You and I, when we have trials come, we're to... wow. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because it says, and I'll read it the third time now, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? The testing of your faith produces patience. But then it goes on. But let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect. How many of you are perfect? Well, then you got a long ways to go. I'm not perfect either. The word patience there, when it said patience, it's talking about endurance. When it's talking about being perfect, it's talking about spiritual maturity. We're never going to be perfect and sinless, but we ought to be growing in our spiritual maturity. And the Lord allows trials and difficulties in our lives so that we may get more patient and so that we might grow spiritually. Yeah, well, tell that to me when I'm standing in front of a house that's lost and gone. And we lost half of our house and we got all this crud out in the front of the house. And it's gone. And you can't live in it. Count it all joy. You think that took patience? What about when a loved one is drawing their last breath? Are you patient? Are you perfect? Are you growing spiritually? The verse goes on. It says, but let patience have her perfect work that ye may perfect and complete to make you whole. I used to teach that it means spiritually that we're grounded, we're well-rounded in the Word of God. You see, God has a reason that He allows us to go through trials, that we may grow in our patience, that we may be perfect, not perfect, but growing spiritually, and complete. We're well-rounded. We're not single-minded. We're not just minded on ourselves. And then the last word here I see, lacking nothing. I wondered what that was years ago when I started teaching that. What do you mean lacking nothing? You know what that Bible's telling us? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, the trying of your faith bringeth patience. And patience turns into what? To be round, well-rounded spiritually and complete. Lacking nothing. You know what that part means? That I get to the place in my spiritual life that all I want is what He wants for me. Did you get that? Lacking nothing. The only thing I want is what God wants for me. I had the privilege of speaking to our junior senior high, and I was in the group with seniors, and I asked them a question. I don't know what you want to do when you graduate from here, but have you considered asking God? Senior in high school, they're going to be gone. They're going to go to colleges. They're going to go be a farmer. They're going to be a doctor. They're going to be a lawyer. They're going to do this. And they got their heart set on that. They're going to be an engineer, whatever it is. But I said, have you stopped and asked God, what do you want me to do? Have you considered that? Would you be willing to consider that? Well, I threw this in there because we're talking about 2 Thessalonians, but I threw this in there because I think it has so much to do with difficult times. Count it all joy because the Lord wants us to grow spiritually till we get to the place in our life and our relationship with Him that all we want is what He wants in our life. Wouldn't that be great if we could live that every day? Wow. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal joy, glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. Tribulations, I believe, is God's way of building our faith. The second thing I saw here was there, He was praising them for not only that their faith was growing, but He was praising them that their love was abounding, we see in verse 3. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other's. Suffering can make one selfish and bitter. Have you ever experienced that? Something you wanted so bad, something you prayed for so long, and it didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Suffering can make one selfish and bitter. I know people that said, that's it. I prayed and prayed and prayed for him or for her or for this or for that, and He didn't answer it. I don't know if I believe that there's a God in heaven. Why didn't He answer my prayers? You see, difficult times can cause some people Wow. Can cause some people to get bitter toward God. Suffering mixed with grace and faith produces love. Wow. Paul was writing this letter because he was actually praising them that their love was still abounding. Love is not some fuzzy, sentimental, emotional feeling, but it's an eager, sacrificial service toward one another. Can I ask you a question? Is that us? I praise the Lord. I do. I praise the Lord for this church. I praise the Lord through this past year, this pandemic, and we don't even pass an offering plate anymore. You know, for a while we couldn't even come to church anymore. But I thank God for what He is doing and what He has done in this church. People have given like they haven't given before financially to this church. We've seen people come to know Christ as their Savior. We got more people visiting here than we've had visiting other years. It's exciting to see the Lord work in your lives and in our lives and what He's actually doing for this ministry. My question is this: are we showing our love to one another? And it's really something when we had people from this church take materials, and whether it's nails or screws or anything that they had to send to help their house drywall, put in a new heater or whatever. We had people from this church. Do you know people from this church reached out to right around a little over 500 homes that needed help after the flood? People from our church showing the love of God. Folks, Paul was, even though all this persecution was going on, what he was doing was he was commending them because of their love for one another. And we need to work on and practice and continue to love one another right here. And then we saw that he was honoring them because of their patience. Their patience was increasing. Verse 4. So that we ourselves boast of you, we boast of you among other churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulations. We do not grow in patience by reading about it. Trials bring it upon us. Trials may produce bitterness or patience. If we trust God and we yield to Him, the trials provide patience and maturity in our lives. I can't even, if you've not experienced, you wouldn't know. I've never had it happen before. We lost our house. We had nowhere to sleep. We were going to get a motel. But you know that the first few nights we drove 45 minutes north to where my son and daughter-in-law lived, and they let us stay in their house, and we go back and forth. We didn't have a house. I remember saying to my wife, whatever we do. By the way, my wife would cry when we make that trip north, and men never cry, so I never cry. I just told you another lie. Hard times. One of those drives up there, I said, but Jeannie, whatever we do, we got to be an example for our adult kids. 30, 40 years from now, they're going to look back. 20 years from now, they're going to say, remember when Mom and Dad lost their house? How did they handle it? We had to be an example. Lord, it's in your hands. How about losing a loved one? That's harder than losing a house. These people were being crucified almost. But Paul was honoring them, recognizing them because their faith was growing. They praised him because of their faith and their love and their patience. Next thing in your outline, you'll see the encouragement, not just of praise, but the encouragement of promise. Three experiences are involved in the promises of God for His people. And the first one is rewards. Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God, there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you're having all these troubles. For great is your, what's the next word? Reward. Reward what? Where? In heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let me say this, folks. No matter what the difficulty is, no matter what the trial is, no matter what it was, these Thessalonians had a secure, glorious future, as does, do you and I. We've got a glorious future before us. Amen? He's promised us a home in heaven. We're going to be with Him for all eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. This church doesn't act very much like that. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I haven't heard that in this church in a long, long time. Why not? I'm not perfect. I still sin, and so do you. People can put us down or whatever. We can lose a house or whatever. We can lose a loved one or whatever. But my faith needs to grow. I got to trust in Him. And when I do, I got to remember that we have a place in heaven. Wow. We call that our reward. Born again Christians, we've got a great reward coming. We got to look to that. You know, we're prone to think that our suffering proves that God doesn't care. Pray and pray and pray. When just the opposite is true. You know, by the way, the Bible or God, He never claimed that we would have an easy life. He didn't say that. Matter of fact, He said something like this, that, you know, Jesus said, if they persecuted me, guess what? They're going to persecute you. You ever had people make fun of your belief? Put you down because of that? Put me down all you want, brother. I got a reward coming in heaven. He promised a future reward for those who are faithful. Then I see when we're talking about not just a reward, but we're talking about the promise of God. He gives us a reward. But the next thing on your outline, it says, recompense. Whoa. You see, in this passage it says, seeing or since it is righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Did you get that? I hope with all my heart. I pray with all my heart that every person in this room, that everyone that's hearing this online, every one of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But do you all know people like I know people? They don't believe there's a God in heaven. They don't believe that Jesus died and could take our sins away. They don't believe that Jesus is God. And when you start sharing that, how do you get to heaven? You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You got to recognize you're a sinner. You got to ask the Lord to forgive your sin, come into your life and save you. It's not if you're baptized or you're not baptized. It's not if you give money to the church. It's not if you're a goody two-shoe. You can be the greatest guy in the world and you're not going to get to heaven. He tells us how we get to heaven. But look what he says about those who reject it. I stopped there when this recompense, this to repay you. Wow. He's going to repay those that go against God and His Word. And I'm hoping there's nobody here. I'm hoping that someday when we go, I hope you're all here, but I hope that someday when the Lord comes, every one of us here, maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll get a corner where we can go Calvary Baptist Church, we can get together and sing or something. Maybe Ben will lead us in a song up there. I don't know. But I hope you're all going to be there. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not going to be there. And it's very clear what it says here. Since it's a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. They were persecuting them. In flaming fire, what's that? Taking vengeance on those who do not know God. Do you have family members of yours that do not know God? Well, then you better share the gospel with them. Because I tell you what, to be repaid by God for what they haven't done is going to be a serious, serious, terrible thing. God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Recompense means repay. Those who persecute Christians will pay someday. Some may think, well, why should I live a godly life when all I would get is suffering like you do? I mean, why? Some people may take that attitude. Because as Christians, let me tell you, we're living for eternity and not for this present time. Did you get that? You see, unbelievers are living for this present time, whereas believers, we're living for a future time. God will recompense, He will repay those who do not obey, and those that reject, and those that mock Him. What a promise. And then the third part of that promise, He promises us rest. And the scripture in verse 7 says, and to give you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. During a time of discouragement, persecution, the loss of a loved one, God promises rest, not fear. We can rest in Him. No matter what the trial is, it's hard to sleep on some of these things. It's hard to let it go. It hurts to be alone. It hurts to lose a loved one. It hurts to have somebody do wrong against you. It hurts. But He promises rest. During a time of discouragement, persecution, or loss of loved one, God promises us not to fear, but to rest in Him. What are we to do? What are you to do? Answer? Rest in Him. Had somebody come to me recently and say, I've been trying to do this particular thing, and it just doesn't happen. Rest in Him. Be calm. Relax. Take no action. Don't get bitter. Trust His promises. Verse 10 says, Jesus will be glorified in His saints. We will reign with Him one day. Count it all joy when you fall into difficult times. The third and last encouragement was a prayer. Verse 11, 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of His calling. and fulfill all the good pleasures of His goodness and the work of faith with power. What do I want to say? Three things. Our worthiness. The Lord's going to give us a place in heaven. When our faith is tried, will you be worthy? Are you going to be worthy to stand before God one day? And I wish I had more time and the clock's going out and I don't have that time. But let me tell you this, there's a day where every one of us, even us as believers, we're going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ. Read your Bible. The day is coming. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to look at us. And He's going to want to know the things that we have done for Him. Do you know why we're going to stand before Him? Because He's got crowns that He's going to give us for different things. It's not something of judgment that we've done wrong because He's already paid the price for our sins. It's not whether or not we get to get into heaven. If we've accepted Him, we're there. But we're going to stand before Jesus Christ Himself. And Revelation says that John saw a man and he had his back to him. And he turned around. He was glowing. He was all white. And he turned around. And it was Jesus Himself. And he fell to the ground. Wow. John was writing this. When you and I face Jesus, are you going to be worthy? Not going to lose our salvation. I used to think that's going to be a great time because I'm going to see Jesus. And well, when John saw Him, when Christ turned around, you read Revelation, it said His eyes were like fire. And that's when He fell. Flat on His face. I believe someday Christ is going to look at me and He's going to look through those fiery eyes and He's going to know everything I did or didn't do for Him. And I used to think that was going to be a great time. We're going to get to see Jesus. I'm going to get a crown because I led somebody to Christ. And I did this and I did that. I'm going to get a crown for this and for that. I think now I've learned it might be a sad time for me. I'm going to heaven, but right there when I'm with Him, He's going to know everything I did do and everything I didn't do for Him. And I'm going to think I could have done a lot more. Am I worthy to stand before Christ? Then we see our walk. Paul prayed that they would be empowered by God to do what God wanted them to do. We need folks to walk the talk. We can say we're a Christian, but we need to live it. We need to share it with others. I have something on the slide. There's a reason. You know, when we have difficult times, let me say this, we could go one way or another. Every time you go through a difficult time, folks, there's a reason for that. And maybe it's because God wants to strengthen you in your faith. So there could be a reason versus hopelessness and despair. It's not just a reason. What we should do is understand there is a reason. What we should do next is we need to pray more. Or what we could do is, nope, I'll handle it myself. I can handle this. I don't need Him. Thirdly, we could be self-controlled versus reacting. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to speak about it much longer. But I just want to say, what's the worst thing that's happened in your life? You could all tell me at least one thing. Instead of reacting and being angry, we need to exercise self-control. How? Knowing He's in charge of everything. Finally, our witness. Christ will be glorified, it said here, in His saints when He returns in verse 10. But we should be glorified in our lives daily. And I wrote this down in my notes. We cannot just do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and where we want to do it. We have a high calling to glorify God daily, no matter what comes our way. Matthew 5:16 says, let your life so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In conclusion, I just want to say this. The encouragement of praise Paul talked about. Their faith was growing in the midst of trials. Their love was abounding in difficult times. Their patience was increasing. Wow. Is this you? I had to ask my question. Is that me? During difficult times? I may not be there, but it's what I ought to strive for. The encouragement of praise, the encouragement of promise. God promises you and me, born-again believers, a reward in heaven for those of us that remain faithful to Him. And finally, the encouragement of prayer. Folks, God hears our prayers. We must continue to pray for our worthiness. We must continue to pray for our daily walk with Him. I shared with the high school kids what this word love means. Can you old people like me, can you remember back when you found a girl that you liked? And you really, really, really liked her? I don't know about you ladies finding a man, but I know about men finding a girl. And all of a sudden the two of you fall in, starts with an L, what is it? I got one person that answered that. Falls in what? Love. And when you fall in love with somebody, guess what? You want to spend time with them. Yes or no? When you fall in love with somebody, you want to be able to talk to them a lot. Yes or no? You just want to spend time with them. You want to talk with them. When you find somebody that you love, you want to probably give them some things. Why? Because you want to love them. Why did I say all that? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ like that? Do you really love Him? After all He did for you and me? Do you spend time talking to Him every day? Don't just tell me, oh yeah, I thank Him for the breakfast this morning. Help me to get an A in my next test. Lord, I'm out of money. I need it. Thank you. See you later. Do you let Him talk to you? Do you talk to Him? Wow. We need to continue to pray for our worthiness. We need to continue to pray for our daily walk, our relationship with Him. And we need to pray for our daily witness to others to glorify our Father. All I can say with this message to you today is take this home. Look at this passage. Read it again. Let's apply it to our lives, especially when you're down and discouraged. These people were down. And this is the medicine that Paul sent to them. Folks, we have a wonderful God. Do we? He loves each one of you and each one of us with all of His heart. Tell me, how many of you moms or dads would give up your son to die for someone else? Humanly, I'd say to you, I might give up myself, but I won't give up one of my boys. What if you only had one boy? God loves you and me. He loves you and me with all His heart. My challenge to you, we should love Him with all of our heart. Even, maybe especially, during
difficult times. Some of you may be sitting here saying, I haven't had any difficult times. And I would look at you and say, are you alive? And if you haven't had difficult times, you will. Praise God, He has an answer. It's right here in this text.